God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord, pour out upon us the Spirit to think and do what is right, that we who cannot even exist without you may have the strength to live according to your will, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Be seated for the reading.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning shepherds who shepherds my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up today for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 23 responsibly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still water. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. A reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, the second chapter. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Years ago, I took a Memorial Day vacation with my friends Mary and Michael and their children. On Sunday afternoon, we had the car all packed, ready to go, and we headed west out to the Black Hills of South Dakota to spend a week in a rustic cabin. Oh, I was really looking forward to this break. It had been a very busy spring, filled with activities and lots of people, and I was ready to get away. Well, I was really looking forward to being out in the middle of nowhere and just relaxing. The first morning, I was awakened by that wonderful aroma of freshly brewed coffee and bacon cooking on the griddle. I was surprised to see that it was not yet 7 a.m., but I joined the cheery family at the breakfast table and then for a sunrise hike. What I thought was just a fluke caused by first day of vacation jitters and joy turned out to be the case for the whole week. Every morning, up before 7 a.m. so that we could get the day started filled with activities and hiking and sightseeing, Michael would be calling out to us to come to the table. Don't waste your vacation time sleeping. It was a fun week, but I'll tell you what, I needed a rest when I got home. The gospel story starts with the apostles reporting to Jesus the results of their mission trip. Jesus had sent them out two by two to proclaim repentance, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. They had visited all of the villages in the area. They were eager to report to Jesus the results of their great travels. They were tired, but they were pumped up from their successful ventures. Jesus was tired too. People had been coming to him, begging him for cures, clamoring after him with questions and cares. People had surrounded him. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, listen to my story. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, heal my friend. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So many people coming and going, they didn't even have time to eat. come away with me. Let's get away for a little while and rest. What a good idea. They all needed a break. Now, if busyness was a problem for Jesus and the disciples 2,000 years ago, it certainly is a problem for most of us today. Who of us hasn't felt this need? Hurried and rushed, pushed and pulled every which way, by family, by jobs, by the clubs that we belong to, our kids or our grandkids' activities, the doctor's appointments, the people that we've promised to help, the commitments that we've made to different associations, the volunteer work that we do, and on and on. We don't have much breathing room left in this technical age that's filled with labor-saving and time-saving devices. They seem to make more work rather than less. You know, like most people, I've come to rely on answering machines and email. What has been promoted as a great way for communication has led to less communication rather than more. For my family and friends who said, you have to get email so we can talk, now we just leave messages for each other. It seems like we never talk. We're all too busy. Come away with me. Let's get away for a little while and rest. Notice what Jesus says here. Come away with me. He invites the apostles to come with him. Rest and refreshment for the apostles can only happen in connection to Jesus. They aren't going to find any renewal apart from him. Jesus had compassion on his apostles. They've been working hard. They need to find a balance in the between the physical activity and the spiritual activity. No, we need to find that kind of balance in our own lives. We need to be alone with Jesus and to be active in the good works of the congregation. We need to nurture our relationships with family and friends, and we need to be in service to our community and to our church. St. Vincent de Paul, the great social activist, had some excellent advice for those who would be the followers of Jesus in caring for other people. He advised them to take care of themselves, too. This is what he said. Be careful to preserve your own health. It's a trick of the devil, which he employs to deceive good souls, to incite them to do more than they are able, in order that they will no longer be able to do anything. Good words, huh? You know, according to Greek legend, in ancient Athens, there was a man who noticed the great storyteller Aesop playing childish games with some little boys. The man laughed and jeered at Aesop, asking him why he wasted his time in such frivolous activity. Aesop responded by picking up a bow, untying its string, and placing the bow on the ground. And then he said to his critic, now, if you can, answer the riddle. What is the meaning of the unstrung bow? The man looked at it for several moments, and he had no idea what point Aesop was trying to make. So Aesop explained, if you keep a bow always bent, it will break eventually. But if you let it go slack, it will be more fit for use when you need it. People are like that too. That's why we all need time to rest. In today's scripture, Jesus prescribed time off for his wearied disciples after they had returned from a prolonged period of ministry. And in the Old Testament, God sets a pattern for us when he rested from all his work. Shouldn't we take God's example seriously? We can't be at our best if we haven't taken time to loosen the bow. We need a Sabbath. Those of you who are caregivers, these words of encouragement are especially for you today.
You who are parents of small children, you who care for a spouse or for a parent who has grown less able to care for him or herself, you who have the concerns of raising teenagers or young adults, you who have stressful jobs or health concerns or financial worries, these words are for you. Come away with me. Let's get away a little while and rest. When Jesus looked at the crowd of people who look a lot like we do, people with concerns and worries, people with illnesses and sinful behaviors, people with worries and problems, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. What happens to sheep without a shepherd? They wander off from the flock and get lost. Sheep do not know where to find food or water, and they'll most likely end up being supper for some wild animal. In that passage from the prophet Jeremiah, we hear God promising to be the shepherd for the people. God will provide good shepherding and will protect his people so that they will be able to live in justice and safety. He is the Lord. He is our righteousness. He will be the good shepherd that we prayed in Psalm 23, and God will provide for us. It's no wonder that this psalm is a favorite for so many people. It's been sung and prayed throughout generations in times of trouble and in times of grief. Let's look again at that psalm. It's on the second page of your bulletin. The psalm starts out with a simple profession. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I shall not want. Now, we live in a culture that teaches us to want everything. We spend the evening flipping on the channels on TV so that we can avoid the commercials that tell us that we need to want everything. And how radical it is for us to say, I shall not want. In other words, God is the only necessity in life. What a powerful statement of trust and confidence in God. And the rest of the psalm carries on with this idea of trust in our good shepherd. In the ancient world, kings were known as the shepherds of their people. Their job was to provide for them and to protect the people, but they often failed to do so. In contrast to the earthly kings, God will be what a shepherd ruler is supposed to be. God will provide for every need. And Psalm 23 tells us how God does that. In verses 2 and 3, that psalm gives us images of peace and tranquility, security and rest. And they also tell us how God provides for the basic necessities of life. For a sheep, green pastures mean food. Still waters mean drink. In short, God keeps me alive, as we could also translate verse 3. For a sheep to be led in right pathways means that danger is averted and proper shelter is attained. It's the shepherd who provides food and drink and shelter, the basic necessities of life. The psalmist professes that life depends on God and on God alone. And that's the nature and character of God. That's who God is. As the preschool children would say, that's God's job. Verse 4 is the center, the core of that psalm. In the greatest of threats, in the darkest of times, God still provides. This is what a good shepherd is like. He'll make the way safe, and even, I suppose I should say, when the road gets bumpy or our way gets dark, when we are unsure, God will be there to protect and comfort. Not even the darkest, not even the deadliest threat can separate us from God. The gracious host does for the guest what the shepherd does for the sheep, provides the necessities of food and drink, shelter and protection. Both shepherd and host proclaim the same radical message. Life depends solely on God. You are with me, the psalmist prays. In fact, God's mercy and goodness, his loving kindness, pursues me all the days of my life. The psalm translation says that mercy and goodness shall follow me, but I like the stronger translation of the mercy and justice shall pursue me. Rather than lagging behind or following after, I like to think of God's mercy pursuing me, chasing me, catching up with me, hanging on to me, holding on to me, not letting me go. God's mercy has a grip on me and will never let me go. Come away with me. Let's get away for a little while and rest. Jesus and his disciples go away for some rest and some solitude, but it doesn't last long. Jesus is interrupted. He's interrupted by a crowd of people who have followed him and are now joined by the local people, all asking for something from Jesus. He looks to them and is moved to compassion. He saw the sick, and his compassion healed them. He saw the demon-possessed, and his compassion freed them. There once was a king who was owed a huge debt by one of his servants. And when the servant could not pay, the king ordered him and his whole family to be thrown into jail. When the servant begged for mercy, the king had compassion on him and forgave him his debt. There was a man who went down on the road to Jericho and was attacked by a band of robbers who beat him and left him for dead. Two righteous men passed him by. And then a Samaritan, an outcast person, came by, stopped, and had compassion on him. He tended his wounds, took him to an inn, and cared for him through the night. The next day he paid the innkeeper and said, "If there are any more expenses, I will pay." He had compassion on him. There was a younger son who took his share of the inheritance and squandered it on loose living. One day he came to his senses and returned to his father's house, hoping at least to be accepted on the land as one of the servants. His father saw him coming down the road and had compassion on him. Before the son could say his piece, the father placed the signet ring on his finger and ordered the fatted calf to be killed for a celebration dinner. This is divine compassion. It heals and it feeds. It forgives huge debts, tends to sick and hurt bodies, welcomes home sinners, and restores them to a place of honor. Jesus will not let his compassion be limited. He says to us, "Be compassionate as your heavenly Father is compassionate." Where do we get this kind of compassion? Come away with me. Let's get away for a little while and rest. In solitude with God, in our private prayer, in the quiet moments of the day, looking at our own lives, we learn the compassion of God. We accept the compassion of God and learn compassion at the same time. We are healed and then can heal. We are fed and then can feed. We are shown compassion and then can show compassion to others. Even when we are in the midst of life, in the crowd of people begging for our attention and our care, even when we are so busy that we hardly have time to eat, We are interrupted by Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who knows what we need and pursues us at every day and every moment to give us what we need. Come away with me. Let's get away for a little while and rest. Amen.